from KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Penny Nelson in for Rachel Miro. Today is the deadline that the U.S. Attorney's Office has given 71 medical marijuana dispensaries in Los Angeles to shut down. KPCC's Rena Palta has more.
The facilities, all located in downtown L.A. and Eagle Rock, received shutdown warnings last month. According to those letters, the U.S. Attorney's Office believes the dispensaries are operating in violation of federal and state laws. Particularly, they're accused of turning a profit. California law requires dispensaries to be nonprofit primary caregivers. The crackdown comes amidst heightened focus on marijuana in L.A. Last week, the city council overturned its own ban on marijuana dispensaries, avoiding putting the issue before voters. But federal officials in the region say they'll continue their campaign against dispensaries. The federal government has shut down over 600 dispensaries in the state in the past year. Officials have said that warning letters have usually been enough to gain compliance, making raids unnecessary. It's unclear exactly what will happen once the deadline passes. Officials with the Los Angeles Police Department say immediate raids are unlikely, but those who don't shut down are on notice. For the California Report, I'm Rena Palta in Los Angeles.
With less than a month to go before Election Day, President Barack Obama made another swing through California to collect campaign cash. But before heading off to a fundraiser in San Francisco, the president started his visit in a tiny Central Valley town where he dedicated the home of labor leader Cesar Chavez as a national monument. Alice Daniel has more.
The president's sleek motorcade stood in contrast to the tiny rural community of Keene, about half an hour east of Bakersfield. That's the location for La Paz, the 187-acre property known worldwide as the home of Cesar Chavez and the former headquarters of the United Farm Workers.
Good morning. Buenos dias. Si se puede.
An enthusiastic crowd welcomed the president as he echoed the labor leader's signature, "Yes, we can." The mantra evoked Obama's 2008 presidential campaign, but long before that, Chavez's campaign to improve farmworker rights. Obama reminded the audience of how hard it was in the beginning for Chavez to bring hope to millions of farmworkers who toiled bent over in the searing heat, invisible to most. When he described the pivotal march in the labor struggle, the crowd roared.
A march that started in Delano with a handful of activists.
That march, he said, ended 300 miles away in Sacramento with 10,000 strong. But it was just the start. Eventually, a great boycott and other protests forced growers to offer contracts.
Where there had once been despair, Cesar gave workers a reason to hope. What the growers don't know, he said, is that it's not bananas or grapes or lettuce. It's people. It's people.
Obama said the problems the nation faces today, poverty, unemployment, can be confronted if the country works together, much like Chavez and the farm workers did. Observers say it's hard to ignore the political significance of the president's visit. California isn't really in play, but he needs Latino voters in swing states like North Carolina, where that population is growing. David Schechter is a political science professor at Fresno State.
Footage of him at the site honoring Cesar Chavez will go a long way with showing voters that he respects and cares about Latino issues, Latino heritage, and the early political movements in which Latinos were so heavily active.
Among the dignitaries welcoming the president Monday, farm worker activist and labor leader Dolores Huerta. She says she learned something about Obama when he gave her the Medal of Freedom this year.
When we met Obama, he told us the reason he became a community organizer was because of Cesar Chavez, not knowing that one day he would be the president of the United States of America.
Huerta says La Paz is a sacred site, and the monument will be an important place for honoring and learning about the history of farm workers and their struggles. For the California Report, I'm Alice Daniel in Keene.
Technologies that help people take charge of their health are taking a big leap forward. That's according to organizers of this year's Health 2.0 conference. More than 1,500 developers, researchers, and healthcare providers are in San Francisco this week to figure out how to integrate cutting-edge technologies into the healthcare delivery system. The California Report's health reporter Mina Kim has the details.
No health technology conference would be complete without a presentation of the latest tools for your computer and smartphone.
So you're looking at a real-time monitor into my nervous system. The app is called SweetBeat, and it's measuring my heart rate variability.
That one was from Sweetwater Health. There was also a home radar system to promote elder safety from Stealth Health.
We can do things like fall detection in the shower.
And from a company called Thrive, a mobile phone food coach that helps you track how much you've eaten by creating a visual of the amount of space your meal takes up on your plate.
We realize that consumers don't know what 4 ounces of chicken looks like or half a cup of rice.
Indu Subbiah is CEO and co-founder of the Health 2.0 conference, now in its sixth year.
This year's Health 2.0 is all about this huge ecosystem of technology applications finally coming to the consumer in very useful ways.
Subbiah says that's because telecommunications companies like AT&T and Verizon and health plans like Aetna are getting involved in these technologies in a big way.
Companies that have means of reaching millions of consumers that can actually be distribution mechanisms for these tools.
Subbiah says a big question the conference will tackle this year is how to make all the data these tools capture useful to doctors and other players in the healthcare delivery system. That's welcome news to Drew Palin from Minnesota, whose company makes mobile healthcare devices and applications. Palin is cautiously optimistic. He says the technologies still have a long way to go before there's evidence they can have a real impact on health.
There's a lot of energy and innovation, but there haven't been a lot of proof points, nor have there been a lot of successful business models. So it's still trying to find how to deliver results and get paid for it.
The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has just begun to regulate mobile medical applications, and only a handful have been approved. The agency could finalize its regulatory guidelines by the end of this year. For the California Report, I'm Mina Kim.
And the pressure is on for the San Francisco Giants and the Oakland A's. Both teams are fighting to hang on in the Major League Baseball playoffs. After two games at home, the Giants are down 2-0 in the National League Division Series. They're playing Game 3 today in the Cincinnati Reds' home park. Meanwhile, the A's will try to stave off a sweep by the Detroit Tigers this evening in the American League Division Series. They're playing at home. That's the California Report for Tuesday, October 9th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Penny Nelson. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995, and the California Endowment. Health happens in neighborhoods at calendow.org.